Folks can't believe their eyes at minicamp, and it might have changed their mind about Trevon Walker. We'll talk about it here today on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for making Locked On Jaguars your first listen of the day. I am Tony Wiggins, host of the Monday through Friday Locked On Jaguars podcast. Been covering this team for about 13 years. We appreciate you joining us for today's show and every other show, where we can find that on all platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. And we are also free everywhere, even on YouTube. That's right. So make sure you like and subscribe the page. Today, minicamp has gone on. I was under the weather. I was not able to make it out to minicamp, but I did hear, see, and feel something different that differs from what we've heard in the draft, or about since the draft, right before and after the draft, about number one pick, Trevon Walker. I got to tell you first that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. And as I said, you guys start here with me, making me your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars, and we appreciate it. I just got to tell you, man, who told y'all that once folks got an eye on Trevon Walker and put eyes on him and are able to stand him side by side with other people, that they would be absolutely blown away and kind of start to understand why he was the number one pick? I told you that, right? I also told you that once whoever the Jaguars draft, the fans do what fans are supposed to do. And I'm not saying supposed to do as if they owe somebody something. I'm saying supposed to do is because of what fans do. Fans are rooting and cheering for Trevon Walker, even those that wanted Aiden Hutchinson. It's like, well, Trevon Walker's our guy now, so he's a beast. Now he's everything we wanted. Now I see what they saw in him. It's all of these things. It absolutely amazes me that we overreact or underreact before the draft, and then we overreact when guys put on shorts. Everybody told y'all Trevon Walker was built like Godzilla, man. I called him Walkzilla. You had to know that once you saw him in person, that your opinion of him would probably change a little bit. And once you see him side by side, and I use that a lot, and it's very, very important that I use that determination, the side by side determination. I'm gonna use pop culture to make you guys understand exactly where my mindset is with this. There's this competition called Versus, where during the pandemic, all of these acts would go against each other one-on-one. They did 20 songs from their catalog, and then public opinion would decide who they thought was best, right? And the one that everybody kept talking about was Kanye West versus Drake. And it never happened because the huge, huge, huge megastars, they kind of like shy away from that stuff because they ain't got nothing to gain from doing it. Well, Drake and Kanye did a concert, a benefit concert. And you finally got to see them sing their songs side by side. Now, while one has catchy tunes, a lot of people came to the conclusion that Kanye's songs, when you sit them right next to Drake's, have more depth to them. Yeah, they do. What does that have to do with Trevon Walker? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with Trevon Walker. Because when the Jaguars went to that combine, you cannot tell me that they didn't watch, and I don't know if they ever saw them together, but a side-by-side, or as close as you could get to a side-by-side comparison of Trevon Walker and whoever else you thought they were going to take, and namely Aiden Hutchinson, and they just said, at that next level, that guy's going to be able to do more. So when I talk projection, I'm not talking about upside. I'm simply talking about taking guys from college and not overvaluing college production without considering scheme, teammates, competition. What did it look like when they were on the field together? It looked like one guy was playing with and practicing with guys that weren't as good as the other guys, right? And he was practicing against everyday guys that wasn't as good as the other team. And you saw a guy like Jamari Sawyer playing left tackle, who projects as a guard in the pros, and that's where he's going to play, who was a six-round pick, shut the other guy down. Add that to the combine where you get a chance to look at him, and I don't know if you saw him side by side, actually, physically, or literally, but you did see it figuratively. At the very minimum, you saw them in the same rooms within a couple of minutes of each other, right? When you start to understand the process, that's what the Jaguars did. They determined that at this level, we're not talking about upside. We're not talking about later on or down the road. The Jaguars more than likely looked at their bodies and said, at the next level, he is going to be more successful because of the way he's built. And I'm not talking just from a visual standpoint. I'm talking about what he's made of and what he's cut out to be. He is a badass when he comes out of the tunnel. The other guy's solid too. But comparing the two, there was no comparison. And that is why the title of this today is the Jaguars might got some problems, but if number 44 ain't one. People were blown away. Media types, and then from the videos that folks posted, all the fans keep posting it back and forth like, I can't believe somebody that big is moving that fast. Yeah, somebody that big moves that fast. And the Jaguars got him at number one. And even some media people, buddies of mine, I know my man Hayes Carlin. Hayes has done a total 180. He's like, wow. And I don't think it's nothing to point a finger at or pick at anybody about, because we're entitled to change our mind. But seeing something in person will make you change your mind, and wait till you see him play. So that's what I want to talk about next. What it appears the Jaguars are going to do with Trayvon Walker and how he's going to line up. And then in segment three, we'll discuss how we can't get too caught up in what we see a guy do in shorts, because that's kind of what he's supposed to do. And that's kind of what he's supposed to look like. But we can at least get excited, and we can get to the point where we understand that everybody is now back on the same page when it comes to the Jaguars, and the enthusiasm that you're supposed to have actually does exist. So guys are happy. Guys and girls are happy with the pick of Trayvon Walker, and I know the Jaguars are too. What we've seen from the way he lines up and how I think it's going to turn out and how they're going to use him, we'll talk about that in segment two after I tell you guys, I was about to say use like I'm Italian or something, but after I tell you about our partners at BetOnline, because they continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and next season's NFL futures, because they're already there, folks. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action, because BetOnline is where the game starts. Ain't no game here on Locked On Jaguars, but you guys do start here with me every day, making us your first listen, and we are very, very grateful for that. Your boy Wig is still battling, still fighting, still in a little bit of pain, but they can't take me out, man. I'm always be here whenever I can to give you the best comprehensive coverage of the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially here in the preseason, where I know everybody's jonesing for some football, even though BetOnline is our sponsor today, even though I know everybody's watching basketball, and you should be, because it's very good. But right now, we're always going to be jonesing for some football. So the rookies have their mini camp here in Jacksonville. Just some other notes from mini camp. Folks fall in love with Devin Lloyd too, man, because Devin Lloyd looks the part, feels like the part, matches with what they've tried to do here the last couple of off seasons in terms of changing the athletic profile of the team. And you know what? We don't want to, but I'm going to give Trent Baalke credit. That is something that I think is extremely important that you must do. You can't expect a team to be a certain way and play a certain way when you don't have the athletes. And, you know, there was a time here when other GMs went looking for all of the, it's like when you find a player that can play at Mount Union or from wherever, that's a surprise. It's supposed to be a bonus. You don't go looking for those guys, though. You know, they have to just pop up. And so taking guys from smaller schools that were overachievers, that's a nice gesture, but you can't have a team full of people like that. You have to have a team full of badasses and war daddies. And I think with the first two picks, everyone believes that that's exactly what they have. Folks are also raving about the size and the mindset and the approach and the ready-to-play ability of Luke Fortner, who played basically on an NFL scheme in college. I know his OC had been with the Los Angeles Rams for a long time, and it's a very similar system to what the Jaguars play here. But he's ready to play. He's smart. He's intelligent. And then, like I told people, Chad Muma was a value pick of all value picks, and he really gives them an overload of guys that can be off the ball and play at linebacker with size and speed and the ability to run. So with that being said, we got to give Trent Baalke some credit because he's extremely consistent with what he went for and how he went about it. And I'm not saying it's all work yet, but I'm pleased. And you have to admit that even though I was one of the guys that was calling for him to get his pink slip, I got to also be honest and say when I think a guy's done a good job, and I think he's done a good job. So I'm still a little perplexed, though, that they had 12 draft picks, and then they only ended up using 7, and they only got they only moved up a few spots to take Devin Lloyd, only moved up a few more spots to take Snoop Connor in, like, the 5th round, and then they got a 4th round pick next year. So I know I'm being a little bit nitpicky here, but I might have, especially in the year where there wasn't a lot of value on the picks because the depth of the draft started thinning out a little bit. It seems like they probably could have got more than that, and they may have gotten fleeced in one or two spots. But ain't no complaining about too much. You know, they got 7 guys that they brought in, and then this Austin Kidd at wide receiver that people keep talking about, he's played well so far, looked good in minicamp, looks the part. He's probably going to end up getting a roster spot. But the key is Trayvon Walker. It's the number one overall pick for the 2nd consecutive year. And the question remains is, how will they use him and how will he play? They have constantly told people here that he's going to start out as an edge linebacker and as an outside linebacker. The drills and the things that we saw him doing this weekend suggest that they're not lying to you. They're telling you exactly what's going to happen. That's where he's going to play. He's going to play outside linebacker, more likely on the left side, be a strong side edge setter who they'll use to be able to go chase and get after the quarterback. They're dropping the back in coverage apparently a little bit too. I don't really like that very much, but that's what Baltimore's done that for years with guys. They've dropped them back into coverage. So I know folks are going to make a lot out of that, sort of the way they made a lot out of when Trent said, you know, we have a lot of work to do. That means that they took that as him not being a finished product. Well, the thing is, no quarterback, no first round pick with Trevor. Trevor still has a lot of work to do, right? So I think more was made out of that because everyone had used this narrative that every time somebody's talked about projection, that they were talking about down the line. No, they were just talking about going from one level to another, like what we're going to ask him to do at this level. He's more suited to do it based on his physical makeup. And we're projecting that some because he didn't do a lot of it in college. But it doesn't mean that we're going to have to wait 3 years for him to do it. So that's not, you know, I never took projection to be that way. But it's semantics and it's wordplay. And people can make anything fit the narrative that they wanted to fit. But when Trent Baalke said after the draft, we got a lot of work to do, I thought he was exactly right. I thought every rookie that got picked had a lot of work to do. because it sounds, you know, if you want it to sound like he meant he's a project, then that's what it was going to sound like to you. But if it's somebody like me, I didn't think that's what he meant at all. What I thought he meant was, yeah, we drafted a number one. He was the best player in the draft, but he's a rookie. But for him to be what he's supposed to be, we got a lot of work to do. And you do. All of them. Trevor Lawrence is in his second year. He's still got a lot of work to do. Laviska Shenault, if he's going to be what they think, he's got a lot of work to do. Travis Etienne has a lot of work to do. Devin Lloyd has a lot of work to do. Tyson Campbell still has a lot of work to do. Remember, this is a team that only won three games, four in 2 years. There's a lot of work to do, especially for all the young players on that team. He looks like he can stand up and run with anybody from any position. I really love the drill where he comes up and hits the bag and he's looking. That is something that Georgia and Alabama really, really taught. If you go back and watch Alabama, how they play, you can look at their linemen. When their linemen or their edge guys come up, they extend. They got these long arms that make contact first, and they do it with power. And they stabilize and lift up the shoulders of whoever's in front of them, and they play look-see. They don't guess. They don't sell out and go one way and create a lane and an alley. They hold a guy up and they look. They shift it. They move him to the side with both hands and they control him. And they take a look at what's going on so they know where to go. And the one thing I can tell you that's going to happen immediately is he's not going to lose leverage when he makes contact with anybody, whether it's a running back, tight end, outside one of the offensive tackles, or even a guard. Because his arms are so long and he transfers strength to power so and speed to power so well, he's going to be, I think, at the very minimum right away, he's going to have a clear advantage on a lot of players in the NFL. Now, does that result in sacks? Does that result in other guys? Does it result in tackles for loss? Does it result in having an advantage on one side of the field because of athleticism? Absolutely. It covers all of that stuff. And I think he makes it a lot easier for other people. Apparently on record, I read this from somewhere else, so I don't know who to give credit to for it, but they claim that Jordan Davis and Nakobe Dean, both who played for the Eagles, said that Trevon Walker was the best player on their team, on their defense. That is a sentiment that I've heard echoed from people that I trust and that I know that said that they spoke to people and the players told them that too. And they also spoke to opposing coaches, and opposing coaches told that to them as well. Is there a comp in the league right now to how he's going to play and how they're going to use him? I don't think so. I think there are a number of different players that you can take a little bit from, but I'm glad he's a bit of an unknown, because you get picked number one by the Jaguars, a team that really needs and is desperate for some serious help. I want it to be this unicorn. I want it to be this rare thing, and I want it to be something that's extremely unique, because if it's that, then it's all about Mike Caldwell and the crew getting creative and having that one thing that nobody else in the league has. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how he's going to translate and transfer what appears to be a pretty decent performance in the offseason here, and how he's going to end up making that production on the football field and what it means for the entire team. And speaking of that, we're going to talk about that. How do you go from shorts and mini camps to the real deal? I'll tell you in segment 3 on Locked On Jaguars in just a second. After I tell you guys about Built Bar, Built Bar is the absolute truth, and you know it, man. It's what I always tell you about. I have been snacking on Built Bars this entire weekend because it really does. It helps me with my condition. It helps me settle. But it gives me something tasty to eat that doesn't hurt my stomach. So for me personally, it has been a godsend this weekend because it's covered with 100% chocolate. It's really creamy and the texture is really good. And that's something that I actually need in my system right now. And I'm not getting hurt by it because it only has 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, powerful grams of protein, with only between 4 and 9 grams of sugar, depending on the one I decide to partake. I ate the birthday cake. I ate the birthday cake snack this weekend, the puff, and it was outstanding. So make sure you go to Built Bar and figure out your favorite player. My normal go-to is the salted caramel in the Built Bar, which is also 100% chocolate. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you're going to get 15% off your order. Once again, that promo code is LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off at built.com and get the greatest protein bar you have ever had in your life. All right, man, we're running through it here on Locked On Jaguars. I'll be on Locked On NFL on Wednesday again. There's a Monday episode out now. There'll be a Tuesday episode out tomorrow. I'll be on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, you'll have another episode with various hosts from around the Locked On NFL Network, and they give it to you like you can't get it anywhere else, man. So make sure you tune in to the Locked On NFL podcast on the Locked On NFL YouTube page. Like and subscribe or wherever else you get your podcast. So how do we transfer all of this newfound unity and goodwill behind Trevon Walker? And how do we make it something that is tangible on the football field? Like, how do we transfer all of this enthusiasm and make sure that we have our mindset correctly, that it's going to take a while, it's going to take a little bit of hard work, but some of the things that he's going to be able to do is really going to help this football team right away. Just coming into the game with more athleticism and having guys that know how to run and hit and that can take up space, it's not easy to find superlative athletes. It's not easy to have multiple of those guys on your team. I think with him and Josh Allen, that's exactly what they have. Big, physical. I thought they were already big and physical with Josh at outside linebacker. They are more big and physical now. He has Josh by an inch and about 10 pounds, and he's probably faster. So he's going to be able to help them immediately in terms of presence. He's going to be able to help them immediately in terms of athleticism and his ability to be multiple and versatile on the front end. Now, you got to get through training camp because there's a grind. I don't think the speed of the game will be too big of an adjustment for him because of where he played, but I think it probably will be something that he has to get used to. And you have to do it play after play after play. You can't make a good play and fall asleep for three or four plays. So training camp's going to teach him how to prepare, teach him the things that he needs to do to help his body recover. And I'm talking about Trevon Walker and all of the rookies. But I like the fact, or I like the thought, that they'll get a little resistance. They'll get beat sometimes. They'll lose some of these battles that they have with the veterans, because the veterans just have that old man strength. But that's the hill that they'll have to climb, and that's the hill that they have to get through. We just have to be understandable that all of the success that they may have doesn't come overnight, and it's going to be a bit of a learning curve. And early on, teams are going to challenge them. Teams are going to challenge them with things that they don't think that they've had time to see with these rookies. They're going to challenge them with just different looks. I recall Jeff Lagerman. I've told this story 1,000 times. Jeff told me when he was with the Jets, they did joint practices against Washington's football team. They were known as something else back then. But Jim Lachey, who is really like a borderline Hall of Famer, but he's not in. Jim Lachey was the left tackle for Washington. And he did a move that Lagerman didn't expect because it was his rookie year. And he got leverage on him just from faking him out and doing the move. Now, obviously, at that point, Lagerman was younger, so he was faster and stronger. Did not help him. Did not help him one bit because of what Jim Lachey put on him. That's the kind of stuff I expect him to see a little bit of, even though now he's going to be seeing it from guys who are not that much older than him and Walker Little, possibly. So he may not get it, but when he goes into those joint practices and they get in those preseason games, there'll be some things that other people will call and that he'll see for the first time, and mainly in the regular season, that might trick him a little bit. But I think he has the mental makeup and the capacity. All of these rookies, especially the first three or four guys, they have the mental makeup and the capacity to be able to get past that. And even when they make mental mistakes, they'll be able to use their physicality to get over it. But it all depends on the position that they put them in, the position and the level of responsibility that they get. Well, we got to come out of the shorts and get into the pads. And then once you get in camp, you got to transition to the preseason. And then you ramp it up another notch when the games start to count and the preseason goes to the regular season. Those are going to be the hurdles and the challenges that not only the rookies in Jacksonville have to overcome, but quite frankly, everybody will overcome. So let's just be patient. Let's not go crazy. Let's celebrate the fact that we ain't at each other's throats anymore about Trevon Walker, and you see the potential of what he could be. But also keep in mind, he is still a rookie, and it takes a little bit of time. I reached out to my man Uche Nwiri, and I'm going to see if we can get him on the pod this week. It may be tomorrow, but at the time that I started this podcast, he has not. He told me before we were going to do it. We've got to make sure we line it up. So you may hear from former Jag Uche Nwiri. When I do get him on, and it might be tomorrow, it might be Wednesday, but we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about that mess that happened last year and what it means for the coaches that now say that they need to get the trust of the team back with the coaches. So we'll touch on that anyway, but hopefully we'll have a former player here who'll give us his perspective on it. But until tomorrow, you guys take care of each other. Make sure you continue to do that, and I'll do the same. And once again, thank you for making us your first listen. And also thank you for all of your well wishes as I continue to try to get myself back together, get my life right, man. I'm Tony Wiggins here, Locked On Jaguars. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.